expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about the state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Is my mic on now?
It's a wave on a dusty road.
I can't hear.
It's a logger's heavy load.
So, guys, here we are. This is Terry at the moment, flying solo. And that's me, Terry Solo. It's another sequel to Star Wars. Anyway, Wynn will be here in a little bit. He was just crossing the river. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Jefferson State of Mind. I am here with Ashley, our producer, who is going to keep us in line today, or maybe just keep me in line today.
Good morning.
So we've got a lot of neat things happening with Jefferson. We can give you a little bit of an update on tomorrow night at 5:30 at 2570 Bonnyview Road and at the church that shall remain nameless, but it is a church right there, the only one. And tomorrow night at 5:30, we will have our Jefferson meeting. At 6 o'clock, we will be having Mike DiAquisto in, and he is running for the city council seat. I'm not really sure. Maybe somebody can update me on that. From what I understand, I think that Francie's running this time. From what I understand, Brent Weaver's not running. So anyway, Mike is going to be there. He's going to be sharing his views. And we like to have the candidates in from the local areas, and we think that's really a good thing that people do that. Talking about that, yesterday I had the opportunity to listen to the program coming out of Stanislaus County. It was absolutely amazing. Hats off to Matthew. Hats off to Rudy. You guys were just absolutely wonderful yesterday. And maybe Sal can either get on the chat room or call in and let us know what the call letters are on that, because I believe it is archived. Uh-oh. There's a wind sighting. Yes. It's a bird. It's a plane. No. It's Wynn Carpenter shuffling in with the seat now, getting close. He's coming down the stretch. Down goes the calculator and the telephone. He's moving in. Here it goes. And here's the Winster. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, your mic was a little up too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I can hear you, though, quite well.
Kind of hard of hearing here, I guess.
Yes. Anyway, I told the folks what we're doing tomorrow night at the Jefferson meeting and what we're doing tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting.
And what we're doing tonight.
And what we're doing tonight. That's up to you. That's why I was waiting for you and just excited about hearing about what's going to happen tonight, because I believe we have a phone call.
We do. We have a conference call every 2 weeks, the second and fourth Sunday of each month. We have a conference call with Jefferson, so you can call in and hear what's going on, find out what's happening in Jefferson, see who's doing what, how we're doing it, why we're doing it, when we're doing it, why we're not doing it, all that good stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our conference call tonight at 7 o'clock at, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It's not going to work, so I'm going to have to go to my information here, excuse me for just a second, and see what I can find out. Terry, why don't you keep on going on that one, because for some reason I'm not having luck with my system here.
Well,
I don't have it written down. I thought I did, but I don't, because when I got here, I heard you on the radio when I was coming across the river when you were testing your mic before the music was done.
Yeah.
Your mic was live.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't hear through the headphones.
Yeah, it was live.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad they work now.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
You know, we've had a couple of technical difficulties over the last couple of weeks. I don't know what the deal is, but right now we're up and running well. One thing yesterday, we did have a little bit of a chit-chat with everyone. We talked to the attorneys, and we had a little chit-chat. We'd like to get your feedback right now, whenever you want, on the ruling by the Supreme Court of California on the three-state initiative. Apparently, they've just decided that, well, you know, you guys can't do this because it would be too hard for the state to do this. I mean, seriously, even though mm-hmm. what you're doing is constitutional, and even though, you know, even if you don't agree with it, they have the right to do it. But, gosh, you know, it's just going to be too hard, and we don't know environmentally how this is going to affect anything, and it would just be too much trouble. So the court has overruled the Constitution of the state of California. It's overruled the Constitution of the United States. It's basically just saying, you guys can't do this. It's just too hard. And we'd like to get your thoughts on that. Just totally incredible to think that the courts now are in a position where not only do they make law, but they are saying, well, you know, gosh, if this even is constitutional and something you can do, well, you can't do it.
They're playing and assuming that we're ignorant, and we are not. There are a great many people that are within the state of California, but we are not. And they're trying to assume and going to assume that we're ignorant. We are not.
Well, so, let's just hope that, you know, really and truly, again, you know, the three-state initiative isn't something many of us are not for it by any stretch of the imagination. But
it's unconstitutional.
Well, down the road, but did they have the right to have an initiative?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and did they have the right to be able to do it?
Yes.
And so what we have to do is look at this and say, gosh, at what point do we have courts that are totally corrupt?
Right.
And basically trying to change our Constitution.
And so what I finally found the number, and I want to apologize for not being better prepared when I came in late. So here it is, the number for the conference call that we have again on the second and fourth Sunday of each month. It's our Jefferson conference call, and the number is 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. And then once you get into that menu, it'll ask you for a code, and the code is 307-268 pound or hashtag. Again, 307-268 pound or hashtag. You would think after all the time that we've done this that I would have those numbers memorized. Well, I'm on conference calls all the time with different numbers, so I don't want to rely on my memory to get this out to you. So, again, 712-770-4114, and the code is 307-268 pound or hashtag. And, again, we do it every second and fourth Sunday of the month. You get on there and you can listen on your phone, but then you can also go to soj51.org and go to the events calendar and click on today's date and then click on the conference call and go into the chat room. Then you can see and participate in the meeting through entering into the chat room where you can write in your questions and have dialogue with people that are on the chat room. You can listen on your phone and participate on the chat room. And it works out pretty well, so we can get questions answered with the moderators doing that. And we can get your questions answered and hopefully get everything out there that we need to get out there.
Well done, sir. And we have Mark Baird on the line, and I'll bet he's got an opinion about what the California Supreme Court did.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing, buddy?
How are you doing, Kemosabe?
Morning, everybody. How are you guys this morning?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you think. I don't have an opinion on that. You think I did?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, really, you look at how it progressed, some environmental group sued to block the three-state initiative, claiming some destruction of the environment would result from a state split, which, boy, that's a new one. I don't know how creating a transparent artificial border that's only on a map with new government to serve the people in those areas automatically defeats the environmental agenda. It certainly wouldn't defeat it in any area where Sacramento and San Francisco were. But then look at it also, within 1 month of filing a court case, that case not only proceeds through trial court and appellate court, but it's all the way to the California Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rules on the issue within 30 days. We've been in court for over a year, and we're still having arguments from the court as to whether we have standing in our case or not. A $500,000 in a year in court, and the court won't even allow us to have our day in court, so to speak. But this so-called environmental group gets a case through the California Supreme Court in 1 month, and the Supreme Court rules, oh, guess what? It rules for the environmental coalition in California. So here you have a court that rules that the people of California no longer have the right to modify, to alter or reform government when the public good demands it. Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution says all political powers inherent in the people, that government was instituted for their benefit, safety and protection, and I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly what it says, and that they have the right to alter or reform government when the public good demands it. So now the court is saying you don't have that right anymore. So the court has eliminated Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, although I doubt any of the lawyers and judges involved have ever read the California Constitution. They have no idea what's in it. And by the way, Article 18, Section 3 of the California Constitution gives the people the right to alter the Constitution by initiative. The court has just eliminated that provision now, unless it's not too hard. In other words, you have the right to do it if it's not disruptive. You know, now what is disruptive? Well, that's up to the court to say. So what the court can do now is they have given themselves the power to look at every single initiative and decide which ones are disruptive and which ones aren't. And you also look at Article 2, Section 8, I believe, which describes the initiative process. That's the process through which Californians have the ability to alter the California Constitution by popular vote. And you can't assault more than one thing at once. In other words, you can't say, we want to reduce taxes and outlaw baby carriages. That would not be a constitutional initiative. It has to be a single issue. It can't be about certain things. That's defined in the Constitution, but state split is not part of that. So now the Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit Court ruled in the case Siskiyou County Farm Bureaus versus California Department of Fish and Game that statutes are to be interpreted by their plain text. In other words, if the text is clear and plain, that is the law. Okay, so look at Article 2, Section 1. All political powers inherent in the people. Government was instituted for their benefit, safety, and security. And the people of California have the right to alter or reform government anytime the public good demands it. So, and like I said, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember the exact verbiage of Article 2, Section 1. And then you have Article 8, Section 13, or Article 13, Section 8. And then you have Article 2, Section 8 also. And so you have three constitutional provisions in the state of California that give the people the power to say what kind of government they live under. Now, whether you agree with Tim Draper's three-state thing or not, I totally agree with state split. I totally agree with where Draper's coming from initially. I don't agree with the boundaries he set up, but that does not give the people the right to lose their constitutional ability all in one fell swoop because the California Supreme Court does a sue and settle with an environmental group. And you know what sue and settle is. Some unnamed group makes an allegation and the government simply doesn't defend against it, and then the court rules in their favor. And it's all obviously predetermined because you usually can't get through to a Supreme Court in less than a month. And you certainly wouldn't get a ruling in less than a month. They can't even tie their shoes in a month. They can't even drink a cup of coffee in a month, much less read a case, review all of its aspects, and then issue an opinion on it. And what this was obviously designed to do, because the timing is awfully suspect, how long has Tim Draper been contemplating this? What, a year or a year and a half? He started gathering signatures 6 months ago or whatever, and yet all of a sudden this group complains. And it was obvious that this was designed so that the injunction by the court or the stay by the court will get it off the November ballot. So now, no matter what happens, because the state is preparing ballots right now, this will not be on the ballot. And thus the incentive and the initiative and whatever political weight has been gathered through Draper's publicity efforts and so on are lost. And you don't know when it will be on the ballot, if ever. I would say to the people listening, this is tyranny now. We live under a dictatorship now. Your liberty is gone now. The Court of California, the Supreme Court of the state of California, under the direction of the Democratic Mono Party, has now eliminated the liberty and freedom of the people to alter the government they formed to support them. and to serve them. People form the government in California, not the other way around. The preamble of the California Constitution is very clear. It's plain text, if you will. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, we do establish this Constitution. The people of California established the Constitution to secure and perpetuate freedom, not to secure and perpetuate government. The government of California has no jurisdiction and no authority over the freedom and liberty of its citizens. Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution, we are born free and independent beings, and as such, we enjoy certain inalienable, in other words, God-given rights. Among those are pursuing, possessing, and protecting property. Among them, that's not the entire list, but among those. So Article 1, Section 1 admits that we are free and independent beings with inalienable rights. And the court now says you don't have those. You have the rights that the court will allow you to have. You have the rights that the state allows you to have. And I'm telling you, folks, if this doesn't open your heart and open your mind and inflame you for the cause of liberty, then you deserve every single thing that happens to you, that government does to you from now on. Unexercised is liberty lost. Should be a rallying cry for every single Californian, whether you agree with Tim Draper's deal or not. We should all be absolutely furious. And if you're not awake now, there's no hope for you.
Well, we have Bob on the line here. Bob, what's up?
Yeah, well, let Mark get done.
Well, I'm done.
Anyway,
I could go on, Bob. You know me.
Well, something that I thought of while we were talking about all this stuff. Since 1945, Edmund G. Pat Brown has been trying to take California away from the United States of America. And with power from the Chinese, which again, Pat Brown Jr. has been negotiating contracts and things with, I feel they need all the land that they get. And this three-way split will kill their ways. And if we get Jefferson, it will kill their ways. And I think that the Brown family has more problems than we know of.
Agreed.
Thanks, Bob. Guys, and Mark, if you can hold on through the break, buddy, can you do that? We're going to take a break here and try to get some things worked out.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
So, time has come, my good friend.
For 51.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. Watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah. I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Arr.
What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
So long, it's not true. One that a woman never bargains for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
Dazed and Confused. That must be the theme song at the Capitol in Sacramento.
It is totally the theme song. And also the theme song of the people that are going along with all this crap.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how can they? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. But, you know, people are out there doing their thing. They're so busy doing their thing, they're not paying attention to what's really going on.
True.
It's sad. And then once they find out, are they going to be mad? Or what are they going to do? Are they going to do anything? You know, that's the thing. What? How do we get them to understand? How do we get the information out there other than, you know, doing a radio show that, you know, we come in and we spend time away from family and friends and doing things, and we do it for free. I mean, we're not being paid to do this. I mean, actually, we pay to do this. So, you know, we're trying to get the information out there so people understand what's going on, why Jefferson folks are doing what they're doing, you know, trying to fight for liberty so we can retain and keep our liberty, and we can keep moving forward as sovereign citizens of the United States of America.
Yeah. And as Mark so aptly put, I mean, when the courts start saying what we can and what we can't do, and when the government is just telling us that, you know, they'll only do what they want to do, and we need to make sure that whatever we do is something that's easy for them to do,
mm-hmm.
and just doesn't upset the apple cart.
Well, and also, they're masters at manipulation, and they're always, you know, saying things that aren't true, and we're trying to fight that so that we can make sure that we are exposing that. We're giving the truth. And, you know, like to quote Justice Scalia, you know, it says what it does say, it says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say. So the written word is very important, and people have to understand that. Instead of saying it's a live document, no, it's not a live document. It says what it says and it doesn't say what it doesn't say. So just read it. What does it say? Just read it. In the literal sense.
Kemosabe, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. It goes further than that, I think. I think that the apathy is overwhelming to people, and I think that's by design. I mean, California cranks out 900 laws a year. There isn't a single one of those laws that makes your life easier. Every single one of them make your life more expensive, more difficult, more confusing, more paperwork to churn out. And I mean, if you look at for example, the quote, new bullet button ban assault weapon registration law. Where there's some guy, some poor dummy in Fresno County, he goes through the trouble. He's a fairly prominent rancher. He's not just Joe from the hood. And he goes to register his bullet button band safe rifle, semi-automatic rifle. And what does he get in return? The DOJ shows up, searches his house, seizes all of his guns, and arrests him. And here's a guy trying to comply with the law. Doing his best, you know, and I'm not going to try to comply with it. I mean, I don't have any interest in it, but here he was trying. And what's he get for his trouble? He gets arrested. And so California is mystified that only 1.6% of the people who probably own semi-automatic rifles, because there's something like 2 million of them in California, only 1% of the people are even trying to comply. Well, gosh, go figure. But what it is, and I've talked about this before, it creates what I call an Irish democracy, where the laws are so difficult and designed to oppress the people that people don't follow them. And what that does is it places the government in a position to where they can arrest you any day they want to, and all they have to do is figure out what day they want to come and pick you up because you're violating some law right now. Every single one of you are violating some law right now, and you could be arrested anytime the government wants to come and get you.
Well, with that, we have the professor on the other line here. Professor, you need to turn your radio down, buddy. Whoever has their radio on in the background, it needs to go off. Are you there,
Professor? Good morning.
There you are.
Okay, in succinct terms, you know that I like the word succinct. Therefore, we the people have lost our inalienable right to determine our own government by petition or whatever. In other words, we are at mercy of the state. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've been talking about all morning. I mean, yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to know that because a number of people, when I'm on my shopping tour, want to know what's happening in with Jefferson and et cetera. So this latest bit is I'll just congratulate them and say you just lost your right to determine your own government.
Well, we do have the phone call tonight, and Mark will be on that call, and we'll be discussing a lot of this stuff. So were you able to get the number, Professor?
No, I'm not available with that, but I've just watched. I'll see you Monday night at the meeting, but I just want to be sure that I have my terminology right and is forceful at the right. So, or should I hold my powder briefly until after the phone call?
Hold your powder and keep it dry.
Have it dry. and also my AR is dry also.
Right. There you go.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And thanks again for the further explanation. And Mark needs to be on Peter's show, and I will remind Pete to do that because Pete only went so far, and it sounded wonderful yesterday, and it ain't wonderful now. So thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Well, Kemosabe, you know, I think that, you know, that the gloves maybe have to start coming off. I think that that's one of the things. I want to know what your thought process is on that because, you know, we've, as you said, that when you try to comply, position that we're in with the Irish democracy we have is that we could be arrested for anything at any time, anywhere, and there is really no right for citizens or rights for citizens in this state. Granted, this is some things that do happen across the United States, but California is, I believe, the most egregious. What say you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the most egregious. I think New Jersey is pretty corrupt, and I think New York's pretty corrupt, and I think several of those states back east are also pretty corrupt. But this is the corruption we're blessed with, and I think I'd like to kind of go further and expand upon what the professor was talking about. You know, we've lost our right
yes.
to self-determination.
Yes.
And I don't know. Certainly the court has denied us the right to self-determination. My question to the people of the listeners and the people of California in general is, have you lost your right to self-determination? Or are you going to, in other words, are you going to allow this? Because we have the inalienable right to self-determination. We created government in the effort of self-determination. We have the right to modify, alter, and according to the Declaration of Independence, we have the right to abolish government that fails to serve the people. It's called the right of revolution.
We have that right. That is our inalienable right. So have we lost our right to self-determination, or is now the time that the people of the state of California wake up and assert their inalienable right? Because the only way you can lose a right is by failing to exercise it.
That's true.
Have you ever noticed, too, that we have all the problems that come out of all these states that do have problems, it comes out of the urban centers. So, you know, the rural counties, you know, look at New York, the rural part of New York, they want what we want. There is, you know, if you're going to look at red and blue, they're as red as possible. You know, you look at all these other states that are having the issues. It all comes out of the urban centers. Yeah, Illinois is another great example. Mm-hmm. They have so many counties. I didn't realize how many counties they had in New York or Illinois. Their counties are very small, and there are so many of them, and majority of them, truly an absolute majority of them, are red counties. And so you look at that. What's going on? Why do these urban centers, you know, small counties, small urban centers, run everything? So,
well, I can tell you exactly why, Chief Justice Earl Warren. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
When this country was instituted, and Alex de Tocqueville will substantiate what I'm saying, the greatest form of government known to man was the township. Well, a township is defined as one square mile.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that was government from bottom up instead of government from the top down. This nation was created based on local representation. And local representatives then communicate their wants and needs to representatives higher up the food chain, so to speak. And so before Chief Justice Earl Warren, who was a governor of California, the state's attorney general, and had never read the California Constitution in his life, because of guys like Earl Warren, we now have a situation, and it's what Justice Frankenfurter called, a situation where we have an entirely city point of view attempting to rule this nation. Rule this nation. You are no longer citizens of the constitutional republic of the United States of America. You are now subjects of the will of the government, in California at least. You certainly are not a citizen of a constitutional republic, which is guaranteed you by Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. This is not a republican form of government. You are now subjects of the government's will.
Now, Mark,
the California Supreme Court just said that.
Now, with that, before Warren became governor, what kind of shape was California in? Do you have any idea? Were we in okay shape before he became governor and the monarch that he wanted to be?
Well, I think California was in good shape both before and after Warren's term as governor. We lost our liberty when Warren became Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
That's where it started. Okay, I just want to make sure.
As a governor, Warren still hadn't read the Constitution. As a state's attorney general, he never read the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not in a position to change things because we had Prop 26. And Prop 26 gave us a federal model of government, not the federal plan, but a federal model. It was pretty close to what the United States Constitution had outlined, where one house is the people's house, and that was government by basically majority of the of people's votes, and then the other house of government was a contemplative house, and that roughly represented the county's wishes and wills. And that way, the mob rule of large urban centers was counterbalanced, in other words, checks and balances, by the will of geography, if you will. And as Thomas Paine said, we have to have representation in all parts of the colony so that all parts of the colonies continue to be represented. And that representation should grow with population so that representatives never develop an agenda separate from their constituents. But with Chief Justice Warren and this equal districts, equal population thing that he invented, by the way, because it's nowhere in the Constitution. In fact, the United States government doesn't work that way at all. Otherwise, Wyoming, with 900,000 people, wouldn't have any United States senators, and California, with 40 million, would probably have half of them. So we have 10% of the nation's population, more than that. We would have 10% of the nation's senators if Chief Justice Warren was correct in his assumption. But he found himself to be the only Chief Justice in 230 years that realized that the founders did not mean what they said and did not mean what they did, and that he knew better than all of them. And we, the people, allowed it. Look, folks, Go look in the mirror.
Yeah.
This is our own fault, and we're the only ones that can stop it.
Well, we have Rally Sally on the other line here.
Good morning, Sally.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to, since we're talking about the courts this morning, get Mark's take on what happened this week with Todd Engel. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison for his participation in the Bundy standoff down in Nevada. So I think it's a travesty what happened to him, but I know Mark has something to say about that.
Well, yeah, it's a travesty. It's an obvious travesty of justice because everyone was acquitted of all charges. No one involved in that was found guilty of anything with a single exception. And those are people who pled guilty early in the process. Here's what a guilty plea is, everybody. It is your voluntary admission that you have no rights as a citizen and that you are guilty of the crimes that you are charged with, and you take whatever punishment the government wants to give you. Now, usually a guilty plea comes with a sentencing deal, but apparently in this case it didn't, or the government changed their mind at the last minute, and they can, because you have voluntarily surrendered your liberty and voluntarily admitted your guilt. So Mr. Engels, he copped a plea, that's what we call it, copping a plea, and he got a punishment that I am sure he did not bargain for and probably wasn't discussed at the time, or he never would have pled guilty. I mean, you know, anytime you volunteer to submit yourself to government will, you are agreeing that your liberty is not a question in the conversation. You give your liberty away. You give your property to the government. You give your liberty to the government. You give your future to the government, and you did it voluntarily by signing the paper. Don't ever do that. I won't submit. My liberty is not for sale to anyone except to my God. My liberty is a question between me and my God, period, and it is above government's table. Government has no jurisdiction over my liberty, none whatsoever, and that is very thoroughly outlined in the United States Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the California Constitution. So if you give your liberty away, anytime you sign a paper with government, you are agreeing to all the conditions within that paper, no matter what they are.
Now, can that be appealed?
And you are giving liberty away.
Mark, can that gentleman appeal his plea?
Well, I mean, certainly anybody can appeal, but here's what's the first thing the judge is going to say. Well, gosh, why are you appealing if you agree to it?
Yeah.
What are your grounds for appeal? You signed the paper. You
right.
totally agreed you were guilty. Are you saying you're not guilty now? So were you lying then, or are you lying now?
Right, right.
I mean, there you go, and that's how it works. You know, I have to say, if the people of this state don't stand up pretty quick, we don't have all day, by the way. The clock is ticking here on our liberty. It's already gone. How far we let it go is the only open question, because we've already given it away by doing nothing. And how far we let it go is the open question. Is it time to fight now? You know, will it be time next year when they come to take your car keys, because your cars are awfully disruptive to the environment? They're already coming to take your water away, except for 55 gallons a day. So don't plan on washing clothes in the same day you wash yourself. Don't have company, you know. I mean, how far are you willing to go? Do you just not have a line in the sand at all, or are you so stupefied by the television and this week's deal at Costco that you don't see this happening, and you won't wake up until it's too late to wake up?
Amen. We have Norm on the other line. Norm, how you doing, buddy? Norm, you've got to turn your radio down, buddy.
How you doing, Terry?
Good, Norm. You've got to turn
I am
your
right radio. Now. There, it's gone.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
Can you hear us on the telephone?
Okay, it's gone now.
Okay, you have to hear us on the telephone.
Well, you know, we gave our liberty away a long, long time ago when we allowed the public workers to treat us like hell, and they did. We'd walk into a public place, and they treated us like second-class citizens, and they've been doing that for one hell of a long time.
Right. So That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why.
So, I mean, it's time for all of us to stand up, and we better stand up because, like Mark says, we're going to lose the whole damn thing if we don't. And I'm willing to get out there and fight, and I don't know just what I'm going to do, but they ain't damn sure coming in my house. Take care now. Have a good day.
Thank you, Norm.
Thank you, Norm. There's some passion there, and he's not wrong.
Well, the thing about Norm, too, is he served his country.
He did.
He's a decorated submariner.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it isn't like we're talking to people here who haven't served their country and haven't been
keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a warrior.
He's been a warrior.
Yeah, as true warrior.
As Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. All these veterans that have fought the fight for the very purpose of what we always talk about. You know, Terry and I are fortunate. We sit here and talk on the radio with you guys, but these other folks that call in, like Mark himself, they've all been to battle, every one of them. You know, and you think about that, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And there are a great many people out there that are listening that have been to battle. So we commend and we thank you all for your part in allowing us for the fight that you did to allow us to continue doing what we do.
Well, we're going to go out for our last break. Mark, can you hang with us?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, we'll go out for our last break here. And if you have a phone, if you want to call in on the phone, it's 605-4567, 605-4567. The time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net. And donate now to show your support.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Yeehaw!
When the work's all done and
Dawn Denver. Okay, I want to do a real quick update, a repeat of the information for tonight before we get off to the rest of the stuff we're going to do here in the next 10 minutes. But tonight's call is our second and fourth Sunday of the month. Yeah, second and fourth Sunday of each month. We have a conference call, a Jefferson conference call, and the number is 712-770-4114, and the password or passcode number is 307-268 pound or hashtag. That's at 7 p.m. And you can also go to the SOJ51.org website, go to the events events and calendars, click on today's date, and for the and then once you get on today's date, click on the meeting time, and then you can go into the chat room. And you can get registered there, go into the chat room, and you can read what's going on. You can ask your questions through the chat room, and you can be involved that way. So you're doing it both ways, by listening on the phone and by participating through your computer and watching through the chat room. So you can do that and get everything going there. And then tomorrow night at 5:30, we'll have our Jefferson meeting at the Unnamed Church here in Reading, our Jefferson meeting that we have here in Shasta County, one of them, the one we have here in Reading weekly, and that'll be at 5:30. And then at 6 o'clock, we roll over to our Patriots meeting, and we are going to be having, again, a candidate for city council here in Reading, Mike DeQuisto. So anything else?
Yeah, that's at 2570 Bonneview Road.
There you go, 2570 at the only church on Bonneview
only
Road.
Only church there.
Yep, the only church. It's down on the right-hand side if you're coming from the east.
We have Ron on the line. Ron, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Yes. Hello there. I've got a question for Mark. And now that the president has given the Hammonds their let them out of jail and stuff, did the Bundys were they ever allowed to rebuild their water system, or is the government still hassling them, or you know, still bothering them? So anyhow, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Mark, did you hear his question?
I could barely hear it. Could somebody repeat it?
Yeah, he was very soft-spoken. What he was asking is, with the Hammonds being released from prison, do you know, did their water system get rebuilt? Do you have any idea on that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I sincerely doubt the government rebuilt it, so the answer to that is probably no. But with a pardon, they can go rebuild it themselves. I can only assume that. But, you know, look, nothing is beneath these people. The BLM is one of the worst rogue bully agencies you can even imagine. So their goal is to get people off the land so they can gain more land and more control over more land. And here's how it works. And people in California better learn this better than they know anything. If you control the water, you control the land. If you control the land, you control the people on the land. We now have a government that says very soon you will be limited in how much domestic water you can consume every day in order to save the magical religious environment that they want to save. So you think the BLM is bad? Look at California's government. But I am assuming that the Hammonds, with a pardon, can go back to their place and back to their lives and rebuild their water system, because that is their right. That water is a right that goes with that land. So, you know, time will tell, I guess. But that's should be something else we need to be prepared to stand for. Now, and, you know, quite frankly, folks, that's why we're doing Jefferson. Can you fight all these fights? Will you be alive long enough to go to a meeting or two meetings every single day? On Monday, it's the Wolves and Carb. On Tuesday, it's Sanctuary State. On Wednesday, it's water restrictions. On Thursday, it's repeal the gas tax. On Friday, it's try to protect Proposition 13. On Saturday, it's try to get rid of AB 109, AB 47. San Francisco just allowed illegal aliens to vote. So on Sunday, we have to go to voter integrity meetings. You know, and I could go on and on and on. In other words, if I finish the list, we'd be going to 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 meetings every single day. And next year, they'll crank out another 900 laws. So what we need to do is we need to do one thing that stops all of it, and that's the state of Jefferson. We need to form a state with true constitutional republic, with districts that are small enough that it is cheap and easy to get rid of a crook or a bum. Is Jefferson perfect? No. Is Jefferson the perfect answer? No. But I can't think of anything else that will solve more questions at once than breaking away from the state of California and forming a state with a part-time legislature, with one assemblyman for every 2,000 or 3,000 people, and no county will have less than one state senator, but every county will have equal representation in the state Senate. Part-time legislature.
And
I can't think of any governmental model that would get closer to getting rid of the crooks, the bums, and the deep state than the state of Jefferson. So in my opinion, rather than go to a Wolf meeting on Monday, a CARB meeting on Tuesday, a voter integrity meeting on Wednesday, a water meeting on Thursday, a gas tax repeal meeting on Friday, and on and on and on, let's get away from these kooks and communists and form our own state so that we don't have to do this and we can secure liberty for our children and our posterity.
And well, and on top of that, we would be able to go to our kids and grandkids, great-grandkids, nieces and nephews, soccer games, baseball game, basketball, football, you name it. We'd be able to go to all their sporting events, and we'd be able to go to their weddings. We'd be able to have a family reunion. We'd be able to go fishing and hunting. We'd be able to just go for a walk in the park or down the street with our spouse. We would be able to have freedom and liberty that we were born into, and we'd be able to keep it.
Yeah, and you know what they say? They say, as California goes, so goes the nation. And even though we may not be the worst on everything, we certainly seem to be the people who start everything. I mean, you know, and Mark's absolutely right. I mean, there's a million things we can be doing, and all those things definitely are honorable to fight against. But the problem is that how do you have a solution for everything? Well, you have it with your sovereignty. You have it. You have it with your liberty, and you have it with your freedom, and you have it with your right to representation. And that's what this is all about.
Well, we also have it. We also have it by recognizing the proper role of government.
Right.
It's the proper role of government to defend the rights of the governed. That's
right.
The proper role of government. Yes, government has some policy and some security and safety and public safety issues. Yeah, government has a place in those things, but not at the cost of liberty. So what we need to define in the government of the state of Jefferson is, what is your proper role? What are your boundaries? Because the Constitution of the United States doesn't bind the people. It binds government.
Right.
It tells the government exactly and precisely what they may and what they may not do. You have the right to do anything in life that is not infringing upon someone else's liberty. Government is wrong to stop you from doing any of those things, because that's not the proper role of government. And that's defined in the Bill of Rights. That's why the Bill of Rights are negative rights. Congress shall make no law. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and on and on and on. And what we have in California is we have a monarchy and oligarchy, and we are subject to the California government. We are subjects of their rule. They create laws in order to rule us, not in order to defend liberty. And so the government of California is just plain wrong, because they have denied you your right.
Absolutely correct. Well said. You know, and Mark, we've got about 2 minutes left, but do you have any parting thoughts at all?
Wake up.
I'm sure
fight.
You do.
wake up and fight, because the time has passed. And anyone, like I said, it's irrelevant to me whether you like Draper's deal or not. Our position is clear on that. But he had the right to try. And the people of California have the right to try, even when it's misguided. I got some bad news, folks. Sometimes you learn about liberty through doing the wrong thing, not the right thing. But the point is, in the United States, what is our guarantee? We have the opportunity and the right to try. And when we're wrong, we suffer the consequences, and then we learn by our mistakes, and we undo those things, and we try in a different direction. Tim Draper and his initiative have the absolute right to try to break this state into three states, even though we didn't agree with the boundaries. And the king and queens of California have stopped that and denied the people their absolute inalienable right to alter or reform government when the public good demands it. And if we don't fight for that, we won't fight for anything. And Katie, bar the door, last one out, turn off the lights.
Amen.
Amen to that. Well, folks, thank you, Mark, for all of that. And,
yes, thank you.
Wynn, can you give that phone number one more time real quick, buddy?
Sure. It's 712-770-4114, and the extension is 307-268, pound or hashtag.
7 p.m. tonight, folks.
Amen.
Time has come.
For 51.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us.
have no clue. And still you tell us what to do. We don't know you, what you face. It's time to start a brand new state.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.